You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope you enjoy what we're going to do today. I have spent a lot of time listening to Brandon Bean talk about his 2021 draft class. I've listened to all of his media availability. I listened to him on One Bills Live. I listened to him on WGR. I took notes. I compiled the general thoughts and ideas and things that he shared about the draft. And I want to deliver to you a concise look at what I thought were the most meaningful things that he said since drafting the players he did in the 2021 NFL draft. So we're going to look at this stuff, see what meaningful takeaways there are, see what we can learn, see what we can gather to predict things about this season and who could make the team and who won't and all that type of stuff. So I think it's a very important part of what I do to be in tune with what Brandon Bean is saying, to dissect what he's saying, to learn from things that he said in the past and how it has affected decisions that he's made in the future. I just think it's an important thing that we do. Roster construction, roster building, life cycles of teams. It's a big part of what we talk about on this podcast. And so I think as we kind of shift away from analyzing the NFL draft and what the Bills were able to accomplish, I think this is a great way to tie a ribbon on the conversation. So I have 13 notable things that Brandon Bean has said about the 2021 NFL draft that I want to talk about with you here today on the podcast. The first thing I have down is some of the questions that he was asked about there being a concerted focus on the trenches. And Brandon Bean, dating back to January, coming out of the end of the season, right? The end of the 2020 season, and talking about free agency and the draft, and now even after the draft, after the Bills spent their first four picks in the draft on linemen, Brandon Bean continues to reiterate that him and Sean McDermott have a big-time belief in being stout up front on both sides of the football. And he said, as the game has evolved, whether it's more passing, run-heavy, no matter what style of football is being played in the NFL, football games are still won up front. And I think you can look at the way he's crafted the roster, the people he brings into the team in free agency, the draft picks that he's made, and you can identify that his actions match that sentiment. Rousseau, Basham, Brown, Doyle, his first four picks this year. His first pick in 2020, A.J. Epenesa, defensive end. In 2019, his first two picks, Ed Oliver and Cody Ford. Then in 2018, they go Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. But that first pick, after kind of getting their quarterback of the offense, quarterback of the defense with their two first-round picks, is a defensive tackle in Harrison Phillips. All the defensive linemen they signed last offseason, Quentin Jefferson and Vernon Butler and Mario Addison. All the offensive line depth he continues to build. Feliciano, Williams, Morse. He's serious about this, and I think we need to always be ready and prepared for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to invest premium draft picks and premium free agent dollars on linemen. The next thing, he mentioned how they attacked the draft in terms of best player available and when they drafted for need. And from what I was able to gather, their first three picks in Rousseau, Basham, and Brown, those were very much BPA. I don't think Brandon Bean intentionally went into this thing and said, we need to take defensive end with our first two picks. I think all of the messaging since the draft has indicated they didn't think Basham should be available at 61. They avoided trading back because they wanted Basham. They thought it was a player that was a great value for them, a true best player available selection. So I do think that the Rousseau, the Basham, the Brown pick were BPA. And I think the Jack Anderson pick was BPA for them, the last pick. But those middle selections, I don't think they were. He specifically said that there were points in the draft where they went for need when they picked a cornerback, returner, and safety. So Rashad Wildgoose, Marquez Stevenson, and DeMar Hamlin were definitely need picks. They said, not necessarily the best player on our board, but we feel like it would be prudent for us to add a rookie young player into the mix at these positions because we need that. All the rest, I think, were true BPA selections. He talked about the running back thing and, you know, a lot of buzz and hype about the Bills potentially targeting Travis Etienne in the first round. And, you know, were the Bills going to try to upgrade from Zach Moss and Devin Singletary? The first thing that Brandon Bean said when asked about running backs after the draft, he said, we're committed to the guys we have, which you would expect him to say, right? He has to say that. He didn't draft anything at running back. So surely the actions signal to you that they have to roll with Moss and Singletary, and he doesn't have much of a choice to say anything but, yeah, we're committed to the guys we have. What is he supposed to say? Yeah, you know what? Look, we really wanted Travis Etienne. We really wanted Najee Harris. We were hoping to get Michael Carter. No, you can't say that afterwards. So the messaging there is what it has to be, but he also said a couple other things about the running back conversation that I think are interesting. He said, I don't believe in not taking a running back in the first round. Brandon Bean is capable of drafting a running back in the first round. So if you are of the thinking that you should never draft a running back in the first round, which I mostly am, and I know a lot of people are firmly in that group, Brandon Bean is not. He is willing to do it. He's been part of multiple first-round running backs. He was part of the front office that took Christian McCaffrey in the top 10. He's part of the front office that took Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams with the Carolina Panthers. This man can do it. And he called the Christian McCaffrey pick a sleep good at night pick. So it's within his realm of capability. He did say that they were never targeting a running back in the first round and that the hype was overblown. He also said that they liked running backs at different points in the draft, but it never worked out where they valued that running back over the player they selected. Again, messaging you would expect him to say, but it was interesting that he did kind of squash the hype and said that, hey, that conversation about us taking a running back in the first round was overblown. We were never really targeting that. At cornerback, right? We've talked a lot about cornerbacks, and so has Brandon Bean, and obviously many people expected or at least hoped a higher investment, a more premium investment would have been made in the draft on a cornerback. And Brandon Bean has chosen to reiterate that the team believes in Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson. And on his media availability with the the pool of Buffalo beat reporters, he also mentioned Cam Lewis and said, hey, we believe in Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson. Don't forget about Cam Lewis. And we shouldn't. There was a point in time last year where Cam Lewis took the slot job from Taron Johnson. He was benched for Cam Lewis. Then he had the wrist injury and wound up missing the rest of the season. But, I mean, they like Cam Lewis, which is interesting because that further makes it difficult for Rashad Wildgoose to make this football team unless the Bills keep six corners or he beats out Saron Neal and Cam Lewis. So that's another interesting layer to him mentioning Cam Lewis. He said that the board never fell right to pick a quarterback, and he also reiterated how important they feel tackling is in their cornerbacks and said that was something he appreciated about Dane Jackson. So a little nugget there as you are scouting and considering cornerbacks for the Bills. If they don't tackle, probably not going to be on the radar for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and the UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's keep the conversation rolling here regarding Brandon Bean and things he said about the 2021 NFL draft and what we can learn from them. He talked about the draft and was asked about whether or not his picks were geared towards the future or if he believes that there were contributions to be had this year from this crop of rookies. And he very quickly said, no, we got guys that we believe can be part of the equation in 2021. And when he did that, he specifically mentioned four of his picks. Rousseau and Basham, he talked about both having the opportunity to start and expected them to at least be part of the game day rotation. Interesting. He did not dismiss the idea that either or both could be starters, and that's including a defensive end room that includes Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, and A.J. Epenesa, second-round pick from last year. So he's counting on those guys this year. He talked about Spencer Brown being an injury away from being in the game behind Deion Dawkins and Darrell Williams. So he's viewing Spencer Brown as that swing tackle, that third offensive tackle right now, over Ryan Bates. Then he also mentioned the returner. He called him specifically the returner, Marquez Stevenson. Said he's a guy that they want to get the ball in his hands. And then he said all the other guys will come in and compete. But when talked about guys that can contribute in 2021, Rousseau, Basham, Spencer Brown, Marquez Stevenson. Interesting, right? He said some of the moves were longer-term plays, but he also expects a lot of these players to have an impact on 2021. And I think he told us exactly what he thinks. Tommy Doyle, Rashad Wildgoose, Damar Hamlin, Jack Anderson, those were the long-term plays. The short-term plays, the guys that are expecting contributions this year are Rousseau, Basham, Brown, and Stevenson. It was interesting he talked about the Senior Bowl. Brandon Bean did not go to the Senior Bowl this year, and he said that was because of how long the season went. But the rest of the staff was there. They filmed the interviews. They discussed the game reps, which is interesting because I know a lot of emphasis is placed on practice reps. But Brandon Bean spoke very highly of the value in watching game reps and seeing specific matchups and players going against other players. And the Bills drafted several players that were at the Senior Bowl. So despite Brandon Bean not being there, it was still a high point of emphasis for them this year. Some years they've been heavy Senior Bowl, other years not as much, but this year was definitely a season and a cycle where the Senior Bowl factored in heavily in what they were doing, which is further more interesting because Brandon Bean wasn't even physically there because the season went on for so long. This next thing is kind of interesting. He was asked about what he learned about leading the Bills draft now for his fourth cycle. He's made all the picks in 18, 19, 20, and 21. And he mentioned that having a lot of the same people around since late 2017 and as part of that first draft in 2018, that they are becoming more familiar. They've learned how to set the board and they understand how the different scouts will grade differently. He talked about the continuity at the coaching staff and how because they've been able to really keep all of the coordinators together and most of the position coaches, everyone has an understanding of what the staff is looking for out of players at each position. So the scouting staff knows what types of players they're going to want. And so as we reflect upon Dan Morgan being hired away from the Bills, now as the assistant general manager for the Carolina Panthers, it's interesting that the effect of something like that and the expectation that more coaches and front office people are going to get plucked from the organization, right there's your practical application about how that can be disruptive. Because Bean literally said it's been really valuable that the same cast of characters have been working on this thing since late 2017. So as that continues to be disrupted, you have new pieces that are part of the puzzle and new pieces that you're setting the draft board with. So it's not a small thing when the Bills lose a front office guy or a coach. Right there is a very practical application of how that matters. Brandon Bean was asked about trading down for the first time as Bills general manager. And folks, I was a little nervous about this. Dave Gettleman, who, you know, really brought up Brandon Bean, and Bean served under Gettleman for a while in Carolina. Gettleman never traded back in his entire history as a general manager until this year, and he did it twice. So I was nervous that Bean was an anti-trade down guy, but he finally did it this year. He moved back and acquired that extra sixth-round pick. So when he was asked about this, he said that a thinner free agent class was playing into this decision because the NCAA allowed guys to go back to school due to the COVID season. And he wanted as many draft picks as possible because he has a deep roster, and that makes it harder to recruit undrafted free agents because, you know, guys didn't want to go to a team that would be hard to make. If you're a UDFA, you get to pick your destination. You want to go somewhere where you got a chance to make the roster. Well, if you have a draft pick, if you draft a player, they don't have a choice. They got to come to you. And Bean talked about the conversations he had with agents when saying, hey, look, if you don't get drafted, we'd love to have you as UDFA. So he's mapping out this process and this plan before the draft. And he's getting feedback that, well, look, I got to do what's best for my client. And it's probably not your football team because I don't think they can make it. So it's a good problem to have, but it does speak to an interesting conversation because a lot of the discussion we had going into the draft was, well, the Bills should use some of that day three capital and move up and go get specific targets because, you know, it's going to be hard to get guys that will make the team. The Bills really can't roster eight rookies. Well, the flip side of that is, well, it's a tough roster to make and you want to have as many players in the mix as possible. And so the opposite is also true. Like, move back and make sure that you have plenty of picks, because if you're relying on undrafted free agents to come in and fill out your 80 or 90 man roster to have the right competition at each position group, they probably don't want to come to your team because they probably won't make it. So another interesting layer to add to that trade up and trade down conversation as it relates to this Buffalo Bills team and where they are in its life cycle. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car ever need over at rockauto.com. We've got five more talking points to get into here. The next one is about Carlos Basham. Bean specifically called Basham a left defensive end that can come inside on passing downs. Spoke about his density, power components, hand usage, and instincts. Now, I want to go back to him saying that Basham is a left defensive end because guess what? That's the same thing he said about AJ Epenesa. Now, it's not that I think they are disappointed in Epenesa as a left defensive end. I think they learned last year that Epenesa is actually a right defensive end. And whenever Bean called Epenesa a left defensive end last year, I had an eyebrow raise on that because Epenesa was a right defensive end at Iowa. And, you know, Jerry Hughes has kind of always been a right defensive end. It felt very forced to me to consider Epenesa as a left end. So as the season went on last year, I think they learned that Epenesa is interchangeable. He could play both sides. And I agree with him in that Basham is definitely a better fit for being a left defensive end. You know, most NFL offenses are right-handed. That puts the tight end, the strength of the offense, often on the right side of the formation. And I think you want Basham on that strong side. And I think you want guys like Gregory Rousseau on the close side of the formation, the side of the formation where the tight end is not. So I think this is interesting that he called Basham a left defensive end, because either A, Bean has evolved in his thinking about AJ Epenesa, or B, he's a little bit more in tune with Basham and his skill set and how he fits into the defense. I'm not saying that Bean's comments were ill-advised last year about Epenesa, but I do acknowledge that at the time those comments were odd to me, and they make a lot more sense for a guy like Basham. Next up is about Mario Addison. He's been a popular conversation piece because I think a lot of people are saying Addison's done and that he's not going to be part of the team this year. I disagree with you, and I think Brandon Bean's comments would back up my line of thinking more than the idea that Addison could be gone. And it's interesting because some people have pointed to LeSean McCoy as the case study that, well, look, they said that they were committed to LeSean McCoy, and then right up until the season, they were committed to him, and then they cut him. Well, that's a very different situation because the salary cap dynamics of Mario Addison and Shady McCoy were very, very, very different. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But what did he say about Mario Addison? He said Mario is great. He already texted Sean and I. He's a big-time leader, and that he said he can't wait to meet these young guys and show them the ropes. Talked about Mario Addison playing a higher percentage of snaps last year than they wanted him to, including a lot of first and second down reps. They said their goal is to cut reps and allow him to be fresher on money downs, which really kind of goes hand in hand with some of the conversations I had with you so far, including yesterday on the podcast where we talked about winners and losers from the draft. And I called Mario Addison a winner because he wouldn't have to deal with all the dirty work on early downs, and he'd be fresher for long and late downs to pin his ears back and rush the passer. And then Bean also talked about how important Mario Addison has been with the development of F.A. Obada, who came to football late in life and, you know, has progressed and had his best year last year. So for as much as we can look into this situation and say, yeah, I'm not sure Addison's going to be part of this, it sure sounds like he's going to be, based on what Brandon Bean has said about him since drafting defensive ends with his first two draft picks. I thought it was also interesting that Bean talked about on several occasions how it was difficult not having a fourth-round pick. Obviously, the fourth-round pick went to the Minnesota Vikings as part of the Stephon Diggs trade. We're all happy about that. We're not asking for that fourth-round pick back by any means because we love Stephon Diggs. But Bean talked about how stacked his board was with third-round grades, and there was a couple of different times where they had a deal in place to move back and get back a fourth-round pick, specifically in the second round. He said they had a deal in place to move out of the second round, but only if Basham was already taken. They weren't willing to trade away from Basham. So he wanted to have that fourth-round pick. He thought that the draft was heavy with third-round grades, but liked Basham enough to say, you know what? No, we want just Basham as opposed to whatever two players we would get as a result of the trade back. So further emphasizing that the team really likes Carlos Basham, but also interesting that they really wanted that pick in the fourth round, and it sounds like there's some remorse, not because they have Basham and not the fourth round pick, but because they had so many players drafted in that range, and they kind of thought that was the sweet spot of the draft. Couple other things here. I forgot about this until it came up on the WGR interview with Brandon Bean. You know, typically rosters are set up to 90 guys, right? 90-man roster that gets down to 53. Well, last year during the COVID season, they didn't allow teams to go to 90. It only went to 80. And so Brandon Bean is very much in limbo right now on whether or not it's going to be an 80 or 90-man roster. And I think that's playing into why the UDFA class has not been announced or finalized. It's causing hesitancy there. He talked about teams last year. They wasted money on signing UDFAs because the league wound up saying you can't have 90 guys on your roster. So I think he's looking for some clarity here on this 80, you know, or 90-man roster before we hear for sure about the Bills UDFA class. The last thing I'll mention is the fifth-year options. Bean had some interesting comments about the fifth-year options for Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds, most notably the fact that because of the new CBA that was agreed to after they picked Allen and Edmonds, it really changed the planning, the cap planning, because when they picked Allen and Edmonds and they forecasted out the fifth-year option, Josh Allen went from a projection of $18 million to $23 million, and Tremaine went from a projection of $9 million to $13 million. So in their planning efforts, they were thinking, well, in 2022, they'll have $27 million combined in Allen and Edmonds. But now, based on the new CBA, that shot up to $36 million. So you take that and you couple it with the salary cap in the COVID year and how it's went down. Brandon Bean literally said he figured that at this point the cap would be well into the 200s, pushing 215 to 220 million. And so a lot of the intentions and plans that he had in terms of contract structures and how he can fit players in and different strategy and planning has very much been derailed because of not only the new CBA and how it impacted the fifth-year option for Allen and Edmonds, but because of where the salary cap is in relationship to where he thought it would be. I know that nothing there is groundbreaking, but there has been a disruption here, which is disappointing, right? Because I would have loved to seen the full vision play out and what this team could look like now and in the coming years should everything have been on schedule. But it certainly is something that is affecting their decision-making. And when talking specifically about Allen and Edmonds, he said Josh was always obvious because he's a franchise quarterback. They never thought twice about not picking up the fifth-year option for Allen, but said they needed to make sure that Tremaine would fit into the puzzle. Now, they picked up the option. They're committing the $36 million combined to Allen and Edmonds in 2022. But knowing that, he said, look, we need to make sure that he fit in the puzzle, then they picked up the option, it certainly signals to me that he does fit in, obviously, right? Like, he evaluated the situation and said, you know what? This works for us. So maybe there's some positive traction towards the cap going back up after the season, which I think we all certainly hope is the case. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today here on the podcast. I certainly hope you enjoyed this conversation. I always love digging into Brandon Bean comments and seeing what we can learn and how we can help shape our predictions and ideas for what he's going to do moving forward. So I always like doing this. Tomorrow's Herd Mentality on the podcast. On Thursday, we are going to discuss the Bills' 2021 schedule. It comes out on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll save my recording until after that and give you all the analysis I have on the Bills schedule. So you have that to look forward to on Thursday. Don't miss anything. Make sure you're subscribed. We're still going 5 days a week for you all year. I'm not taking any breaks. I'm not going to peel us back to 3 or 4 days a week. This is a 5 day a week, Monday through Friday podcast on the Buffalo Bills. I will be here for you. So don't miss it. Subscribe, rate, review, and share the podcast. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.